Yemen, and the so-called internationally recognized, is the way it's called, who are based in Aden in the south. They control some of the southern regions, some of which are oil-producing regions and strategic port areas. The Ansar Allah government, like most Arab governments, is not a democratic force. It is there because it took over in a military coup some years ago, and they enforce their incumbency and their rule by autocratic means. And now they've stepped that up, by the way, in the last couple of months. There's much more internal monitoring, repression, arrests, because they're being attacked, as we saw earlier this week. And they have a lot of support, but they don't have unanimous support. And this is something that applies to all governments in the Arab world, that they have some genuine support, but not unanimous. And there's people in North Yemen who'd rather not have perpetual warfare as their destiny, but they can't do anything about it. And in the south, of course, it's the same thing. The people in the south who are headed by various former officials in unified Yemen with Yemeni support, with Saudi support, and United Arab Emirates support. The UAE has a kind of a base in the south of Yemen now, and some international support. These are not, wildly loved democratic movements, but they are in power. And people like, many people in Yemen, North Yemen, like the fact that they resist, even though they're going to get the hell, beaten up really badly, because this is what the Israelis and the Americans do. They use their military power. But they like the resistance is a part of their philosophy, part of their DNA. And the Yemenis have been resisting for about the last 2,000 years. They've had all kinds of, every, colonial, imperial, regional power has tried to attack them, even from the Romans in the first century. There was a Roman general who tried to go down and take over the spice routes, and they threw him out. So this is part of the regional scene.
Rami Khoury, I wanted to ask you about Gaza and the West Bank. The latest news, Israeli attacks since dawn have killed at least 54 Palestinians, including people seeking food. The attacks coming as Gaza health officials recorded another 13 deaths due to starvation, three of them kids, bringing the number of starvation deaths in Gaza to more than 360. According to a leading global monitor, more than half a million Palestinians in the Gaza Strip are suffering catastrophic hunger due to Israel's blockade. This comes as the world's leading genocide scholars association has approved a resolution establishing Israel's policies and action in Gaza meet the legal definition of genocide as found in the Genocide Convention, constituting war crimes and crimes against humanity. I want to play for you Melanie O'Brien, president of the International Association of Genocide Scholars.
This resolution declaring what is happening in Gaza as genocide passed by an overwhelming majority, far beyond the two-thirds majority required.
Rami Khoury, if you can respond to this genocide finding by the largest genocide scholars association and the conditions in Gaza, and now what I think it's been established, something like 42,000 Palestinians in the West Bank have been displaced, and the killings by Israeli settlers of Palestinians continues.
Yeah, first of all, what the Israelis are doing in the West Bank and Gaza and elsewhere in East Jerusalem is nothing new. It's just a bigger scale, and it's more out in the open. It's reported now, especially by social media, and even Western mainstream media has started to talk about it. Progressive media, honest media like yourselves, have been talking about it for many years, but the world sees now what has been happening in Gaza, and we keep sending the message that this has been going on since the 1930s, when the Zionist movement came in and said we want a Jewish state in a land that was 93% Arab Palestinian. But this is an ongoing genocide. And the statement by the International Association of Genocide Scholars is very significant, not at the level that it's going to suddenly stop the genocide, but it's significant because of the nature of this group. I talked yesterday to My friend Omer Bartov, who you've had on your show, he's a leading Israeli-American genocide and Holocaust scholar, teaches at Brown University. And I asked him, why is this important? And he said, it's important because the Natchez group, this association, is a relatively conservative group. There's another more leftist, progressive, dynamic association. But these guys are pretty low key. They're careful about what they do. And the fact that they came out with such a big majority, I think 85% of them voted that Israel is carrying out a genocide. That's significant because it makes it pretty obvious to the whole world, if anybody needed more proof, that even the conservative scholars, independent, serious students of this gruesome process of genocide and Holocaust and mass atrocities, they are coming right out and saying this is a genocide. The big question is what will happen next.
We have 10 seconds.
Will any of the major Western powers take action? Will the signatories of the Genocide Convention do what they're supposed to do, which is stop the genocide by any means possible?
Rami Khoury, we want to thank you for being with us. Palestinian-American journalist, public policy fellow at the American University of Beirut. Also a non-resident senior fellow at the Arab Center in Washington, D.C. Democracy Now! Produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tadasena, Nicole Salazar, Sarah Nasser. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
As summer winds down, KPP Concerts is keeping it hot this fall with a stacked lineup of great concerts at the Broom Factory this September. On September 12th, check out Mountainhead, and then Colorado on September 14th, and Punk Icons Propaganda on September 15th. Don't miss Hamilton's The Dirty Nil on September 19th, followed by The Broke's tribute to The Strokes on September 20th. And then on September 26th, check out Petit Beliveau and Neo-Folk Icons Bridge City Sinners on September 27th. The month ends with Yukon Blonde, the night of September 28th at Broom Factory. All shows are co-sponsored by us here at CFRC 101.9 FM. And for a complete list of shows and ticket information,